American Thorough, who has taken the lead on the outside. In between horses, it's Firing Line. Dorfman is down at the rail as they come into the final furlong. American Thorough, Firing Line, not done yet. And these two come into the final 16th. It's American Thorough in front, Firing Line. Dorfman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Thorough and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Tell me that doesn't get you fired up. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We move into the 4 o'clock hour. It should have been the running of the Kentucky Derby today, first Saturday in May. That has been pushed back to September 5th. But they will run the Arkansas Derby later on today at 6 o'clock. You can see that on NBC Sports. But on the line with us, an old friend, a good friend, Dick Girardi, formerly of the Daily News, Penn State basketball announcer extraordinaire. Dick, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us.
I'm great, Dee. How are you? Just trying to stay safe like the rest of us. Right?
Absolutely. Today's a pretty much a big work day for you, I assume, with the Arkansas Derby actually happening. Is that correct?
It is. Typically, they would have run the Arkansas Derby 3 weeks ago as the final big prep race for the Kentucky Derby. But Oaklawn Park and Hot Springs, they made a really good decision when they realized, obviously, the Derby wasn't going to be run, as you said, until September. They said, hey, why don't we try to fill that void? So they actually extended their meet by 3 weeks, and they have the biggest prep race, maybe prep races, there's two of them, so far in 2020 that are coming up, as you said, at 6:30 and then about 7:30 on NBCSN.
Now, before I get to some old memories, which we've been talking a lot about Smarty Jones, because Smarty won the Arkansas Derby back in 04, correct?
He did. He really made the Arkansas Derby. It was kind of an afterthought for horses going to Kentucky. And when Smarty Jones went that route, and he won all three of their big prep races down there in 2004, then he won the Derby and, of course, the Preakness. So yeah, that became one of the ways to go. And then Fleet Alex did it the following year, the filly horse. And then, of course, that was American Pharoah's final start before that Derby recording he just played from Larry Colmus. I can't believe it's already been 5 years, but it has been.
It's unbelievable. All right, wait a minute, because if I'm correct, I remember an article of things that you loved about your career that you were able to cover, and covering a Triple Crown was on your list, because I'm talking about bucket list today. Was that was on your list, correct?
Absolutely. With the two things I wanted to cover, I mentioned in the final column I wrote for the DN when I was still full-time in 2017, was I wanted to cover a Triple Crown because I'd been to Belmont Park 9 times. It was a horse with a real chance at it, and it was 0-for-9. And then American Pharoah got there in 2015. And the other thing I wanted to cover was a Big 5 team winning the national championship. So I got that in 2015 in June. Following April, I got Villanova, and I think I was sitting literally, I don't know, 15 feet, 20 feet from where Chris Jenkins launched his shot. So I got them both in about a 9-month period.
Well, that's pretty good. You worked a long time to get your...
I did.
Yes, but I'm glad you got it. When I was looking at the horses, and as you mentioned, there's two divisions. It has 22 horses total today at the Arkansas Derby. But what are some things that stand out to you? I know Bob Baffert has two horses, one in each division. Are there some names we should look for?
Definitely. So the 11th race is the first of the two. That's the one that goes off at about 6:30. That's actually the weaker of the two divisions. There's not as many good horses.
Okay.
But the best horse is in that race. That's number one, Charlatan.
Yep, and that's Bob Baffert's.
That's Bob Baffert. He's run twice. He's won by almost 6 lengths the first time, 10 lengths the second time.
Oof.
Ran incredibly fast. This race sets up perfectly for his style. He'll almost certainly go directly to the front. And if the Derby was today instead of when it's going to be in September, I actually think he would be the favorite in the Derby. That's how impressive he's been, although he's only run twice. He actually technically, Dee, it's interesting, he wouldn't qualify for the Derby today because he doesn't have enough points.
But
that's because all those prep races were canceled, just like the Derby was canceled. Like
right.
There was no Santa Anita Derby, no Wood Memorial, all the races that he could have been in. So this is the race where he'll get his points. But Yeah, Charlatan is a horse, and viewers are like this. After his first, or listeners, after his first race, I called a friend of mine in Vegas. I said, look, can you find out what we can get in the future book, meaning we'll bet him now and lock in a price, and if he wins the Derby, we'll get him at that price. We got him at 22-1 back in mid-February.
Good for you.
Yeah, so hopefully he gets to September in good shape. And if he wins today and he gets to September in the same kind of form, he will be favored. So I might get a horse that's 4-1 in reality at 22-1, which would be a very nice place to be.
That's outstanding. All right, wait, Dick, before I continue, because I want to ask you about Governor Morris. When you talk about the points and the ones that they missed out on, and I know the top four get their points today. Are the points greater today than normal just because of the other races that have been canceled?
No. It's 100 to the winner.
Yes.
So the winner's basically guaranteed a spot in the Kentucky Derby. There's no way 20 horses are going to have more than 100 points. So that, and what they're also they haven't decided yet what they're going to do, but they're going to take some races that typically are run later in the year for three-year-olds, say like the Haskell at Monmouth Park, and they're going to make that a points race.
Got it.
They just haven't announced it yet.
Right.
So there will be opportunities because, as you said, there's races that were lost where horses didn't get a chance. A race like the Travers, if they run it at Saratoga, that will be a points race for the Kentucky Derby. Churchill Downs just hasn't announced how they're going to do that yet.
Okay. Governor Morris. Whose horse is that? Because their odds I'm looking at have it at 9-2.
Yeah, that's Todd Pletcher, who's good friends with your friend and mine, Butch Iancalli, who I know you talked to earlier today.
I did. He got me a little educated before I went to you. Well, I had to make sure I knew what I was talking about.
That's what he does. He educates everybody. He's a man. Anybody that's been around a racetrack around here knows Butchie. Yeah, this is a pretty nice horse. He's getting better. Each of his races, he's probably going to be the second choice in here.
Okay.
And I'm sure Todd Pletcher would be thrilled if he could run second or third. I don't think anybody thinks they're beating Charlatan in this race. But, yeah, Governor Morris is okay. And named after the man who I believe was the reason we have Morrisville today, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, but you said the second race, which is race 13, actually has the more competitive field. So take me through that a little bit.
Yeah, there's probably a half a dozen horses in this race that you could see in the first Saturday in September. Storm the Court was the two-year-old champion. He won the Breeders' Cup last year. The four is probably the horse with the greatest backstory. This is King Guillermo. He is owned by the former and really good baseball player.
Victor Martinez.
And Victor just decided for reasons not entirely clear to start buying racehorses. And everybody was kind of telling him, look, this horse isn't any good. And he said, no, we're going to run in the Tampa Bay Derby. Well, he wins the race by almost 5 lengths, runs one of the best races any 3-year-old's run all year, and he's 49-1 that day.
Whoa.
He won't be 49-1 today.
No.
The 5 is Nadal, named after the great tennis player, also trained by Bob Baffert, undefeated in 3 starts. He'll almost certainly be the favorite in the race. But it's a really, really strong race. Wells Bayou won the Louisiana Derby in New Orleans middle of March. Farmington Road is the horse is getting better. But, yeah, there's a lot more of the kind of horses you're going to see later in the year, potentially for the Derby, in the 13th race rather than the 11th.
Dick, I'm just curious. Well, two things. One, what becomes of the Preakness and the Belmont? How does that factor in this year, knowing that the Derby now is not until September 5th?
Yeah, it's a great question. Originally, everybody was thinking, well, they would just fall in line and run it 2 weeks after the Derby and then 3 weeks like they've always done. But the problem is very simple. 3 letters. NFL. If the NFL is in play by that time, and everybody hopes it is, nobody wants to compete with the NFL. Once it starts. Now, they'd be Saturday races. You'd also have to deal with college football just to get it on TV. So at the moment, nobody's quite sure what's going to happen to the Belmont Stakes or the Preakness. If I were guessing, and it's just a guess, I would say the Belmont will be run sometime this summer prior to the Derby, because it's obviously still a big day for New York, but nobody knows when racing in New York is going to come back. Obviously, it's going to come back after everybody else.
Right.
If people don't know where Belmont Park is located, it's right on the border of Long Island and Queens.
Right.
So not a bad spot right now, and may continue to be a bad spot for weeks or even months. And in Pimlico, they got the same problem with the Preakness. They don't really want to run it in the middle of September, but they don't know exactly when they're going to be able to run it. Nobody's announced anything. So, yeah, it's like everything else, like the NBA and Major League Baseball and so much else. Everybody's just kind of waiting because there's just so many unknowns. But, yeah, there's every chance they're not going to be run after the Derby this year. But, again, I wouldn't swear to that, but I think it's certainly a possibility.
I got to imagine, at least I feel this way, and, again, I think it's because there's so little to watch that's new or live, that this will have eyes on it today when these two division races are run, or whatever's happening at the Arkansas Derby, just because they do have the backdrop of it should have been the Kentucky Derby. Would you agree people are going to watch?
Absolutely. No, it was interesting. I was watching ESPN last night right after the Secretariat movie, where for the people that have not seen it, I am the co-star in that movie with Donald
I saw Trump. You. I forgot. I should have given you a... I told Tyler that it was the first time I ever saw the movie. I thought you did your great Stan Hockman of Rocky.
Yeah, my 14 words and
perfect.
Immortality.
Yes.
So, yeah, last night they actually led with the Arkansas Derby on SportsCenter last night. So, to your point, Dee, people are dying for something live. There's derby parties being held, obviously, in homes today, not with a lot of crowds.
Sure.
So this is going to be what people are going to be watching. I'm getting texts from people that I usually hear from on Derby Day. Who do you like at Oaklawn? So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it for today, it's going to replace the feeling of the Derby, because this is what we all do on the first Saturday in May.
Absolutely.
We're doing it, but we're just not doing it in Kentucky.
My last thing, because Penn State basketball was on quite the roll before everything got shut down, just what it was like for you the season before, and what do you think they could have accomplished had the season been able to play itself out?
Yeah, no, it's one of those questions of what ifs, like we do in sports all the time. Yeah, you feel terrible for everybody that it happened to, the college seniors that didn't get to keep playing, the spring sports that never really got started. But yeah, for a school like Penn State, which hadn't been in the tournament in a while, had two great seniors from Philly, and Lamar Stevens and Mike Watkins, finally getting a chance to play in the NCAAs, and Pat Chambers and the coaching staff getting that opportunity. He just felt terrible for him. Look, I think they were good enough, D, in the middle from, say, mid-January to mid-February, when they won 8 in a row in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Including at Michigan State, and at Purdue. And none of the games were close. I mean, they were hammering people for the most part. If they that team, and they had all their players back by the end, they had lost their second best player toward the end. He was sick. He missed like 5 games and wasn't the same when he came back. They were as good as anybody. When they were good, you're watching them, you say, man, who is it that they can't play with? But we all know the tournament. You have one bad day and you're out. But now, I think they were certainly capable of being a second weekend team, depending on the draw and how they were playing at that moment. But, yeah, it's going to be like so many
what ifs.
This will never happen because the NCAA doesn't think like this. But what I would have done was say, all right, we're going to freeze the season where it was. What teams would have made the NCAA tournament?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to say, if they want to do it, the seniors on those teams, just those teams, can come back and play one final year.
Right.
I knew
right.
They never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Like they're letting the spring semester seniors come back, which is great.
Right. But why not do it that way, too? Sure.
Yeah, I would have done that. Would there have been some inequities in that? Yeah, there would have been.
But it's not a perfect world anyhow.
No, never is. And there was some inequity in the fact that those players didn't get to finish out the special seasons. The kids at Rutgers, Dayton,
yes.
Lifetime team.
Right.
It would have been. It would have been like the St. Joe's team in 2004 not getting a chance to play in the tournament.
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
That was kind of the analogy for people around here. They had the kind of season St. Joe's had in 2004.
Yep. Dick, thank you so much. This was so much fun to catch up. I appreciate your knowledge always.
Absolutely, dude. It's great talking to you.
Stay healthy. And you I appreciate too. It. All right. Dick Girardi joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. I do agree. I think this is like going to be a good sporting event to watch today. And again, you can catch the Arkansas Derby on NBC Sports, the sports network, not Channel 10. At 6 o'clock, they'll begin their live coverage. And Dick just gave you a couple of names to look for. I did not realize Victor Martinez's horse was named King. What is it? King Guillermo? Yeah, I had read about that. I didn't realize. I must have been going too fast through the article. So, and Nadal, he answered my question without me asking it, was named after the great tennis player. And he also is Bob Baffert's, along with the one who's favored to win Race 11, which is the first division, and that is Charlatan. So some good names to look at down the road, and also the point system, how there could be races in the summer that wouldn't have points that now will, possibly, that go towards qualifying for the Kentucky Derby. But certainly the winner in each of these today gets 100 points. And that would go a long way, obviously, for September 5th. Good stuff, good stuff. 610-632-0975. And by the way, when he talked about the movie Secretariat, I can't believe I didn't remember this beforehand. So they always have those press conferences leading up to the actual races, just like they do leading up to a sporting event, you know, where the owners and the trainers sit at a podium and, you know, the media's in the crowd, and he had a front row and he actually stood up out of his seat to yell out his question to the people. I mean, I think it went to Secretariat's owner, but he was great. And right away I knew it was Dick Girardi, even though it was a movie. He was playing a reporter in Secretariat, the movie. And that's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool that he actually covered a Triple Crown winner after being there so many times with the possibility happening, and it didn't. 610-632-0975. Charlie's back with us. Charlie, I appreciate the patience, and thank you for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Not a problem. Very educational. I just wanted to mention something about Secretariat.
Sure.
I think it was at the Millennial, the new Millennial, that they rated the top 100 athletes of the century.
Ah.
And Secretariat was one of them. You can look it up.
Oh, wow.
And then I researched everything. So I researched it. It was a fascinating story. He was a very big horse.
Yes.
For a thoroughbred. And, you know, when he won the Belmont by what, 31 lengths?
That's yes. Just, yes.
He could run and run and run. And when he liked attention, he liked the camera, he liked what went on around him, he was very calm. But after he passed away, they conducted an autopsy, and his heart was twice the size of the average horse, and that was the engine that let him run like that.
Wow. Well, that's so interesting, because I was saying to Tyler, who took your phone call, in the movie, the jockey, I guess, had ridden a horse prior, not Secretariat, remember, and the horse had his heart exploded, and so when he's getting on the horse for the final leg, the Belmont, the trainer says something to the effect, and then he stops his sentence, and you know, because he said, "What, you don't want me to blow out his heart?" And now that now that you tell me he had an unusually large heart, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, that's what all great athletes, the bike riders of Europe, follow all those races. They can pump a lot of blood to the extremities, and that stops the buildup of lactic acid and cramping. So it was an amazing horse, and he belonged in the top 100 athletes of the century.
Yeah, you were right. He was ranked 35th.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Good talk with you, Dave. I love your show.
You as well, Charlie. Have a great rest of your day out there in California. Which, by the way, California had the beaches open out there. I saw some mixed reviews. You know what? You really, when people start looking at what's open from a beach standpoint, parks, you have to be above to see how far people are apart, because when you're down below, you just see people and you can't tell any, there's no depth to that. But anyhow, Charlie calling us from California. I love it. Secretariat ranked 35th best athlete in the 20th century. I'm going to look at that list. I can see why. I mean, when you see, and again, if you just see the footage of just blowing away his competition in the Belmont. And obviously, we all know in each, you know, that's the longest leg. And they're not used to running that. And you think like, oh, my God, save something. You know, I hope there's something left in the tank. And he didn't have to save anything. He had plenty.
You want a couple of the names that are actually below Secretariat on
below,
this list? Yes.
All right, wait, 20th century, right? So it's below. All right, give me a sport and see if I can guess one.
Okay, so right beneath him, 36 NBA Hall of Famer.
NBA Hall of Famer. Olajuwon?
Oscar Robertson.
Oh, wow.
Right below that, Mickey Mantle. So a horse. That's how good this horse was.
A horse be two of the best. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Well, I'm just telling you, for anybody, and I was so glad I stumbled upon it. Because you know how sometimes you hear of a movie, but you're like, eh, do I really need to see that? And you realize how much you don't know. And I mean, I've heard of Secretariat, of course. And especially when any of these races are run, a lot of times the history of the sport comes up and who's accomplished greatness. And Secretariat's name would go to the top of the list. But the backstory and seeing how it progressed and even the jockey, because the jockey came from, they switched jockeys at one point. I mean, he ran all three of the races, but prior to that, there had been someone else on the horse. So that part was interesting as well. 610-632-0975. So we're talking about bucket list sporting events. And if there's one that you hope you get to attend, and I say that just because big events like Triple Crown races or majors on the golf tour, tennis majors as well, usually make the list. Tyler would like to see Penn State in person in a national championship game, though his friend says he can't pick a team, so he just wants to see a national championship game in person. I would like to go to a Kentucky Derby. And I think there's also a mystique for me about Churchill Downs. And, you know, it's in Kentucky. I mean, I get it, and I know that people in New York love their horse racing, whether we're talking about the Belmont or Saratoga. You can go down to Pimlico on the East Coast. But because I lived and I kind of experienced some of the just the people who are so into horse racing, and I did stories, obviously, because I was in sports down there on different horses, the farms, all that. So Churchill Downs would be just a cool event, and I'd love to spend the day there, and I'd make sure I certainly had the outfit to match. Of course, you have to. Big hats, mint juleps, and get to meet some interesting people for sure. 610-632-0975. And also, do you have interest in turning on the Arkansas Derby later on today just because it's a live sporting event? You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is Saturday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Actually, it's Saturday afternoon everywhere in the Delaware Valley, but we are coming to you from 97.5 The Fanatic. D-line them until 7 o'clock. Tyler Zuli on the other side of the glass, helping facilitate the conversation. And the conversation we've been talking about is bucket list sporting events. What would it be for you? And in particular, we brought it up because today would have been the running of the Kentucky Derby, the first leg of the Triple Crown 2020. And we just talked to Dick Girardi, who's covered sports racing forever and a day, about, you know, how these are unusual times and that race is hopefully going to be run in September. It's been pegged for September 5th. But he did say we'll see what happens in terms of the Preakness and the Belmont. And they could actually be run out of order this year. And the interesting part of the Kentucky Derby is because it's the longest running sporting event uninterrupted in the United States. The first one was in 1875. So by pushing it back, it still can stay intact in terms of that record. But it's not going to be run today. But what is being run today is the Arkansas Derby. And so there were a lot of cool names of horses, and there's a lot more emphasis on it because a lot of the races leading up to it have been canceled. So, for instance, the favorite, Charlatan, a Bob Baffert horse, is if the Kentucky Derby were to be run today, would not have enough points to qualify, but only because so many of the point qualifying races have been canceled to this point. So the winner in each of those will get 100 points. When I say each of those, there are two divisions, so race 11 and race 13. And there will be points given to the top four finishers in each of those races. It is live. You can watch it. So this isn't something pre-taped. It's actually going to be live sports on at 6 o'clock. Beginning at 6 o'clock is the background stuff, and 6:29 is actually the race 11. And then the second division might be the more competitive in terms of having a number of horses that could win that race. So I just think just to be able to talk about, similar to, you know, being able to see the NFL draft unfold and it was live. You know, these are things that we're not rewatching whatever great NBA finals from, and you can pick the year, this series, that series, documentaries. This is actually something new, and I think that's kind of the appeal for me on this given day. Let's check in with John, by the way, if you want to jump in. 610-632-0975. John in Drexel Hill. John, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hi, Dean. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day.
Isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
the weather's outstanding.
We all were locked in, and it's like the first day out in a long time. So we're on to Ridley Creek State Park.
How was it? Because that's near my parents, and it can get crowded. Did it seem like people were pretty conscious?
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad at all. No, it wasn't bad. It was a little crowded, but it was fine, actually. It was just
good.
A gorgeous day.
Nice.
Kind of got spring fever.
I can appreciate it.
Yeah, but, you know, bucket list, I would love to see the Kentucky Derby or the Belmont or, you know, one of those big races. It's, watching those beautiful horses, they're just, like, majestic.
Isn't it? I know.
Yeah.
I started out saying I wanted it to be the Kentucky Derby just because there's an event to the whole thing. It kicks the Triple Crown off. I love just the way people get dressed up for it as well. The horses are magnificent. And you don't know how the rest is going to unfold for the other races. So I'm with you. I think and I love the horses. I'm not a rider. I appreciate people who can ride, do ride, but I agree with you. Beautiful animals.
Yeah, and it kind of kicks off the summer season.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning of May, and it's majestic. It's nice. But another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Dee,
yes,
is the draft. I know everyone's got their opinions, and it's good to have the opinions. It keeps the radio, keeps things interesting, but it's such a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen with all these. You know, especially the first rounders. How many first rounders are busts? Not.
Right. I mean, I know I've seen written like first round wide receivers selected and how many of them become, pro bowlers or whatever, all pro. or either. And you're right. And I say especially in football because we're talking about 53-man rosters. And so, right. you know, the magnitude. And you have to, you can't just have good at one thing. You have to have the right talent at a lot of different positions.
Exactly. Yes. That's why the Cowboys, look at the Cowboys. They're great. They're going to have a scary offense. But who's going to stop them on defense? I mean, the defense is horrible. They're going to have to put up 40 points a game.
Yeah, right. I hear you. And look, you know, sometimes whether, and you can pick, you know, basketball does it sometimes too, that they'll say, okay, we're going to try to outscore you. And
right.
often I think what you find that can work in regular seasons, but there's a reason they say defense wins championships and you don't even have to say the sport. I think that's just at the end of the day, when you get into crunch time, the defense has to be there.
Right, exactly. I agree. And you look at this Hurts guy. I'm
yes.
sure they did their homework on him. I'm sure, you know, they know a lot about this kid. So I'm okay with the pick. And like I said, we'll see in a couple of years how everything turns out. What if he turns out to be another Russell Wilson?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess my biggest thing when I was talking about it, they went in a direction that is unconventional. But let's just look at it from a standpoint of having assets. How much money, right. when you have a budget, correct? How much right. money are you going to invest in the backup quarterback position? Or just, let's just say the quarterback position. So, you know, you gave Carson over $100 million. How much,
right.
if this gives you a way to lock a guy in on a rookie contract at a number that you like, now, somebody right. else would say there, well, if he goes down, wouldn't you rather have a Jameis Winston as your backup? But what that requires you to do is every year keep finding somebody because you want to be fiscally responsible. So they
right.
so they went in a way that's, like, I call it unconventional.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. And it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see how things turn out.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, John.
And I want to thank you.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you, and it's always a pleasure. Listening to you and you take care and enjoy your summer. Be safe.
I will. Thanks, John. I'm glad you got out to Ridley Creek Park. That's good to know.
Yeah, thank you.
Take
thank
care.
You. Bye-bye.
Hi, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Absolutely. Yeah. Look, we're going to have a lot of debate, even when football is being played. And, you know, for those first X number of games and you see Hurts on the sideline holding the clipboard, it's still going to be a conversation. It's not going away anytime fast. I have to look up, I was reading an article today about the Patriots, and people thought they would either try to jump up and get one of the top three. And then when they didn't do that, they thought, okay, there's still the, like, from Hurts, I'm missing two others still on the board. That
Jordan
were in
Love.
Jordan Love. There you go. Packers, Jordan Love. Top 50 players that were still on the board that were quarterbacks. And then what do? They get opt out of that first round and go down. And the article today is because they like their guy. Stidham? Am I saying his name properly?
Stidham.
Stidham.
Yeah, it's a kind of like a running
Stidham,
basically.
Okay, yeah. So anyhow, but it was fascinating to read about what they think of Stidham, and it does not shock you when you read this that they're like, nope. And it goes also into the fact, remember when there were some reports that Tom tried to call and see, like, Brady, I'm calling him by his first name, terrible on my part, try to call and, like, create a dialogue there of what are we, you know, what are the interest, and people said, like, he couldn't get a call back from Belichick or whatnot. By looking at this particular article, Belichick, the scouting, offensive coordinator, that they all realize they think they have the right guy. They're not saying he's going to be the next Tom Brady. They're not saying that. They're just, they had him on their board as for when he 2017, he was really, really good. 2018, he was not surrounded by great talent. But how often do we say that about people? Even if you look at who the Eagles took wide receiver wise, his numbers were down because he had a true freshman quarterback. Anyhow, the whole point of theirs was they would have had him ranked higher than Jordan Love on their scouting board. So they're like, we're okay. We're good. And that's what they're going to. And they didn't want to have a backup that would be appear threatening. And so that's why they didn't go after a Mariota or Foles. And so they have a philosophy.
I feel like that appear threatening argument only works for you when you have an established quarterback. Like the appeared threatening thing for Carson Wentz or for Aaron Rodgers or, right. You know, that's apparent.
Right.
And I know those guys have to kind of get over it. They're professionals, but that's an apparent thing. What kind of message are you sending that you don't want to have your locker room appear like
no,
challenging Jarrett Stidham?
No, because I'm not conveying what they were saying enough. They signed a veteran. They just don't. They're not interested in having it be a competition for the starting position. They want a veteran that would be able to step in there and do it, but they wanted it to be clear. You know, we believe in you. You are a starting quarterback, and unless something happens, that's the way we want to do this.
Well, and it makes sense as to why they signed Brian Hoyer for the 14th time then.
Right.
Makes sense.
I'll be interested in seeing how it plays out. Not, just because, again, when they do what people don't understand why they're doing it, it just becomes another intriguing, which is the Eagles and their drafting of a quarterback in the second round. That's intriguing to people because they don't get it. And so the same in a different argument is when I read this article about the Patriots thing. Anyhow, we'll continue the conversation. We can talk about the Eagles draft if you so choose. I am going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have a special guest. And it's a good one. And it is related to horse racing. And it'll be perfect. All right. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I said going to break, I had a special guest that I was hoping was going to join us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. And in fact, he is a special guest, Mr. Steve Coffin, former Triple Crown winner from 1978, jockey on Affirmed. Steve, how are you first and foremost? And thank you so much for hopping on the line with us.
Dee, it's a pleasure to be with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I heard your name the other day. Actually, it was a colleague of mine that was telling a story that he saw you win a race at Atlantic City Racetrack, and the trophy that was presented to you was by a princess. So, of course, I had to do some digging, and it was Princess Caroline. Do you remember being in Atlantic City and winning?
I remember being in Atlantic City. I don't recall Princess Caroline giving presenting the trophy, but that could have happened. You know, things were happening fast and furious back in the day.
That was. Steve, there's not a Kentucky Derby today, and because it would have been the racing of the Kentucky Derby, two things are happening. One is a virtual race that has all the horses that did win the Triple Crown, including Affirmed. Your odds in the virtual are actually pretty good, 5-1. Will you be interested in looking at that?
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, they're doing it for charity, for the, you know, COVID-D people in Kentucky, you know, and obviously it's been a, you know, tough situation for everybody in the country. Kentucky hadn't been as bad as a lot of places, but obviously a lot of families have been affected. So it's nice to see that, obviously, since we can't hold the Kentucky Derby today, you know, at least they're doing something and hopefully it can help some people.
Steve, the Arkansas Derby is happening, though not like we normally see it, and it does seem to have intrigue. I think a lot because people just miss sports in their lives. And obviously, we know the seriousness of things. But do you see that there's an attraction to watching those races also today? Is there conversation that you think that's happening that's appealing?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody is, going out of their minds, being stuck in their houses, not being able to get to work and, earn a living and, worrying about this, that, and the other, how they're going to pay their bills and, but more than anything, just getting out and seeing people and, feeling like you're alive. I think people are hammering to see, hankering, I should say, to see, any kind of sport or action or something that feels like, normal life.
On a normal Kentucky Derby day all these years later, do you go down memory lane? Do you just take in whatever that race is in that given year? What is Kentucky Derby Day like for you? And really, each of those legs that follow, the Preakness and the Belmont.
Well, obviously, my Kentucky Derby back in 1978 was a very special one to me because I'm a Kentucky boy, when I finally did get started, obviously, it was really exciting for me and things took off for me, and amazingly, within 2 years of starting, I was at Kentucky at Churchill Downs, riding in the biggest race in the world, really, and actually had a chance. So, it made it double exciting and double special for me. I had about 50 family members that came to the race and, it was a really cool experience. So, obviously now, I obviously, see who's the contenders. And of course, quite often, it's a lot of the same people, Bob Baffert or, whatever, but every once in a while, there's somebody new that pops up or, Calvin Burrell sneaks up the rail on, some long shot and wins it, so it's always exciting and it's always fun and it's just fun to see the people and hear what people have. Obviously I actually enjoy sitting at home and watching the color on the TV because you get to kind of hear stories about the different horses and the people. And also, you have stars from other walks of life come on and tell you, how they're enjoying it or what they're feeling about it. And it's kind of cool.
I said, Steve, that, and I never have been to Churchill Downs, nor have I gone to the Kentucky Derby in particular. For me, that would be a bucket list. And for all the reasons that you just said, because it's more than just those couple minutes of that one race. It seems like it's such a great event throughout the entire day. Would you sell it as that?
Yeah, I think it's a whole week, for the
people. That's true, week.
Sure. That live down there. I mean, obviously, it's a huge event that obviously builds up throughout the whole week, and obviously Oaks Day has become almost as big as Derby Day in the sense of I think they get 100,000 people that show up at that and at least, and there's a lot of other big races on the day, and it's just everybody dresses to the hilt. They everything is laid on. They have big tents with first class all the way for the stars or the well-to-do and, but, average joke and walk down and get a hot dog and, hang around with everybody and, try to figure out who might win one of the races. So it's a cool day. Both of, the whole Derby weekend is just fun to be a part of.
Steve, back when, after you win the Derby and then like the Preakness and eventually the Belmont, did you understand the magnitude? I mean, you're 17 years old. That's just not a normal experience for a teenager. Or were you just doing something you loved in the moment? You had already won the Kentucky Derby, which, as you mentioned, huge for a Kentucky kid. Was the magnitude getting bigger or no, not exactly for you?
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, I was excited to have a chance to ride in the Derby and have a chance. And then when we won that, we moved on to the Preakness. I wasn't thinking of anything except the Preakness. And then obviously we won that. And probably the longest 3 weeks of my life was the 3 weeks in between the Preakness and the Belmont because, you know, I had a chance to do something that was very special. And, you know, you're a part of a team, you know, obviously the horse, the owners, the trainer, everybody in the stable that helps, you know, prepare the horse. And, you know, there's, you know, I felt a little bit of pressure, you know, in the sense that I just, you know, wanted to make sure I did everything right. And, you know, it wasn't my fault that we didn't win. And, you know, like a lot of, you know, big sporting events, you know, sort of the buildup is, you know, huge. And then it's an anticlimax when you actually get to the final event. But, you know, the buildup, obviously, to the 78 Belmont Stakes, you know, was huge. But I think, you know, the resulting race was, you know, basically as good as it gets.
Right.
Yeah, just, you know, they were hooked up for, you know, eighth of a mile, you know, and, it was just a knockdown drag out and, between two great horses. And, it was just fun to be a part of it and particularly fun to come out on the winning side of it.
Absolutely. Steve, what, cause you still have your farm and dream fields, correct?
Yes, I do.
And so you're still working with horses. Can you just share a little about what you do now?
Yeah, absolutely. I had this property for a long time and then gradually developed it into, you know, a breeding farm. And, so really since I've been retired and since 1993, you know, I've started to, you know, I started to breed and raise and sell and race, horses. And I also do some consulting, for a farm called Dixiana Farm in Kentucky. Sort of, you know, their racing manager and, you know, I'm still very much involved. You know, it's still what I love to do. We've got five horses that we race right now, with some partners, and, yeah, I'm enjoying it as much as I ever have.
Good for you. And you have, three daughters and your wife and, everybody's healthy?
Yeah, everybody's good. We've, luckily so far managed to avoid any exposure, you know, to COVID-D, and, you know, we haven't, even as far as I know, we haven't caught the flu. So, you know, we're all doing well. We live here. You know, we've got some dogs and a bunch of horses and some cats. And, you know, we love animals and we just love, I love the farm life. You know, it's great to wake up on a, you know, it's sometimes on the nasty, cold, wet, windy days, it's a little less fun to go out and do what you have to do. But, you know, like I'm a, on a day like today, you know, it was a beautiful morning and it was just great to get out, see the horses. You know, every day you're kind of assessing them and watching them grow and develop and trying to, you know, guide, you know, that in what the best ways you can. Obviously by feeding them and, you know, trimming them and handling them and, you know, just dealing with them and trying to, you know, make them into the best possible horse that they can be.
Steve, well, congratulations on having some hand in this business that you really so enjoy all these years later. I'm really happy for you and your family, and I'm grateful that you took the time to call the show.
It was a pleasure. Good talking to you.
All right, and tell Amy I said hello and thank you.
Okay, I will.
All right. Steve Cawthon with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. 1978, he wrote Affirmed. I know I should have called that one, Tyler, the Belmont of that battle. That was an unbelievable battle. But 17 years old, he won the Triple Crown and stayed that way for a long time because there's only 13 total. And as I mentioned, for charity, they'll have a virtual race coming up that will donate money to COVID-19, specifically in Kentucky. Today would have been the running of the Kentucky Derby. We'll be back in a moment, 610-632-0975. And on the other side, we're actually going to talk to another jockey. And she has one of the coolest jobs, I think, as a sideline reporter. Donna Barton Brothers is going to join us on the other side. And we'll continue talking about bucket list events. Do you have one? Please share. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.